Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together, and we thank you for the opportunity to think about the truths of your word in the Bible. Help us now to understand Jesus' story, that we might have the right perspective on life and live in a way that brings praise to you. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, what you might have heard the story about the lady who was rushed into hospital with a very worrying condition. Now, the woman and her husband had to wait in order to see the doctor. The minutes ticked by, and then hours, until eventually she was shown into a room. Well, her husband then had to wait patiently for her on his own, and he paced up and down in the waiting room. Now, after what seemed a very long time of waiting, the doctor came out of the consulting room and asked the assistant for a spanner, which understandably rather concerned the husband. Well, then, after a couple more moments, the doctor went back into the room and this time came out asking for a screwdriver. Now, the man grew very worried and began to get rather agitated. Well, then a little later, the doctor burst through the doors screaming for a hammer. Now, at that, the husband, in a state of frenzied terror, ran up to the surgeon and said, "Doctor, what the heck is wrong with my wife?" "I don't know," replied the flustered doctor. "I can't get my bag open." You get it? Never mind. Well, having to wait is not often a very easy experience. We might have to wait for something to arrive through the post. We might have to wait for an illness to get better. We have to wait for exam grades or medical test results and many, many other experiences in life. Now, I could do with a few people to come and give me a hand this morning to try and play a little game. It's quite an easy game. So anybody, are you going to come and help me, Noah? No? You can help me. Come on. I'm sure you can. I need somebody to come and help me. What about Matthew and Emily? Are you going to come and help me? That would be nice. Thank you. You come down here then. Are you going to come? No? Okay. Well, you come then, Matthew. That's right. You can drag her. That's it. But she doesn't want to come. That's all right. But Noah's going to come as well. That's good. Well done. Well, what I want you to do is to sit on this step here. Okay? Just sit here. And I'm sure you're very good at counting. Can you count? In your head. Can you count in your head? Can you count to five? Well, can you do it? I'm sure you can. Can you count to ten? I wonder if you can count more to ten. What I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, and everybody else can join in with this game if they want to. So we're going to close our eyes, and we're all going to see who can count to 60 when a minute has passed, because there are 60 seconds in a minute. And so we want to see who can be the nearest to a real minute. So I'm going to time it, so we're all going to close our eyes, and when I say go, we can start to count quietly in our heads. So we're going to start now. And when you think 60 is up, put your hand up. So don't say anything, just put your hand up. Right, we've gone past a minute now. Now, there were some people there that were very, very close to a minute. Very, very close. Now, it was very interesting because I was watching when people were putting their hands up. And there were some people over here who were about 5 seconds before a minute. And then we had somebody down here who was about 3 seconds before a minute. Do you know, there was somebody who was, I reckon, according to my clock, 1 second after a minute. In other words, almost exactly right, and that was Noah. That was brilliant. Round of applause. Now, you know, you two boys had to sit there very patiently, didn't you? You had to wait, and we all had to wait for a minute to go around. And it seemed like quite a long time, didn't it, really, when you think about it? You sat there thinking, well, actually, minutes usually rush by. But when we're just quiet and not doing anything else, a minute can seem a very long time. Well, thank you very much to you boys. Thank you for your help. I might need you again in a minute, actually, but if you'd like to go and sit down again. Now, in that Bible reading that we had from the Gospel of Luke, we heard Jesus tell a story, and it's a story about waiting and about how his people should behave whilst we wait. Now, Jesus had just spoken his great mission statement. They're words that we've been thinking about here over the past few weeks. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. He came to look for and rescue people who know that they need help. Now Jesus, as we picked up the next bit of Luke's gospel, is on his way to Jerusalem and to the high point of his life on earth when he was going to die on the cross. And it was going to be that way that he would rescue, save those who know that they can't save themselves. But Jesus' friends just didn't understand what he was talking about, because he told them several times that he was going to die on the cross and come back to life. But they didn't get it. Now, Jesus tells his story with a meaning because, as Luke tells us just before the story, Jesus was near to Jerusalem, and he told the story because they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. See, Jesus' friends had begun to understand that Jesus really was the Messiah or the Christ, God's special king, the one who's going to bring in God's loving kingdom rule. But they thought that the kingdom of God in all its fullness was going to arrive then and there in Jerusalem. God was going to use Jesus, they thought, to change all the bad things in the world and make them all good. He was going to take away all the bad Roman rulers who they didn't like. And instead, Jesus would begin a new period of history. But Jesus had to make clear to them that actually they hadn't got it quite right. He is king, that's true. But he's a king who was going to be made king through dying on a cross to beat God's spiritual enemies. And he was going to bring forgiveness of sins so that people could be brought back to God. But his full reign, when everybody would know that Jesus is king, wasn't going to happen straight away. That was going to be something in the future. So Jesus tells a story to help people understand more of what God's loving kingdom rule is about, and how there is what seems to us a delay, a waiting period before it fully comes about. Now this story, if you're familiar with some of Jesus' parables, is a bit like another one that he tells, the parable of the talents. But actually this one is a bit different, as we'll see. So what is the story all about? Now, again, I could do with some helpers here. So if anybody would like to come and give me a hand, just to hold a few things up, thank you. Is Matthew going to come again? That's good. Is Emma going to come this time? You come as well. Why don't you come as well? Come on, that's it. Well done. I could do with one other person, really. That's lovely. Well done. Have we got anybody else who'd like to come and give a hand? Sorry? Yeah, thank you. That'd be good. Okay. And we're going to think about that story of Jesus. Now, the story involves what was called a nobleman. He was a rich landowner who ruled over the area, a bit like a king. So, here we are. We'll have a king. Has to be a variable size crown, this one. So there's our nobleman, our king. And the story that Jesus told actually had some factual basis to it, because at the time people knew about somebody who was a ruler in their land, but he had to go somewhere else in order to be confirmed as king, and then he was going to come back. So when Jesus told this story, people were thinking, oh, that's a bit like Archelaus, this, yeah. So they're kind of listening very carefully. So here's the nobleman, and he goes away to another country to gain some more land and to then come back home. But before he set off for the other country, what the nobleman did was he gathered together some of his workers. And here are our workers, okay? And what he did was he gave them all one of these. So can you give everybody one of those? Each one was given a mina. Now, a mina was an amount of money. And it was roughly the same as £5,000 in this country in 2014. So all of these workers were given by the nobleman £5,000. And what he said was, he said, right, I want you to go and I want you to put my money to work while I'm away. So go and do business with it and invest it until I come back. Now, we're also told in the story that a lot of the people who lived in the country where the nobleman was the king didn't like him at all. In fact, they sent some messengers to say, we don't want this man to rule over us. Well, one day, just as he told the workers he was going to do, the nobleman went away and then he came back to his homeland. And he asked to see each of the workers to see how they'd got on with their £5,000. Well, the first came and gave his £5,000 to the nobleman. And he said, boss, with your £5,000, actually, a bit like Chris Tarrant, I don't want to give you that. I've got more to give you. I've turned it into £50,000. So you can give that to the nobleman. It's not £5,000 anymore, it's £50,000. Now, the nobleman was really, really pleased about this. And he said, well done, you good worker. Because you've done so well, you've been so faithful with that small amount of money, relatively speaking, I'm now going to put you in charge of 10 cities. Well done. Well, then the second one came. And the second one didn't just give his 5,000. He gave that, which is 25,000. He said, boss, with your £5,000, I've put it to work and I've made it turn into 25,000. Well, the nobleman was very pleased with this one as well and said, well done, you've done really well. You can be in charge of 5 cities. Well, then another worker came to see the nobleman and he said, boss, here's your £5,000 back again. I've kept it hidden in a handkerchief. I thought this was the easiest way to make sure that I returned to you that which was yours and didn't lose any. After all of us know that you're very strict, and I was frightened that you would treat me very harshly if I made a mess of everything. Well, this time, the nobleman was really cross with his worker. He said, you behaved really badly. You should have used that money and at least put it in the bank so that I would have some interest when I came back. And he said to the other staff, take the £5,000 from him. So you take it. And give it to the one who had £50,000. Now, the others saw what had happened and they were amazed because they thought, well, he's already got 50,000 and you give him some more. But the boss said, well, look, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. And what's more, those citizens who said that they hate me and reject my rule, they have become my enemies. Bring them here and punish them. Well, thank you very much to my helpers. That was excellent. Thank you very much. You can go and sit down now. Take your crown off. Oh, sorry. So that's Jesus' story, but what are we to learn from it? Well, remember, Luke helps us to understand something of the important background. He says Jesus told the story because Jesus' friends supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Now, in some ways, Jesus is like this nobleman. As I say, Jesus is picking up on a story that the people would have known at the time. And Jesus isn't completely like that king, but in some ways he's like him. And he says that he's going to return and be known as king by everyone, like the nobleman coming back and speaking with his servants. But this will only be after an unknown but really quite long period of time. There is then, as we think about especially at this time of Advent, a time of waiting for Jesus. A time of waiting for Jesus to be fully made known as king when he returns. So like the nobleman going to a far country before coming back, so Jesus has gone to heaven after finishing his work on earth, but he will come back to the earth. There's a waiting period between Jesus' first coming at Christmas and his return to heaven after his death and resurrection, and then his final return sometime in the future to fully bring in God's kingdom. Now, this is really important that we get our heads around this as Jesus' people today. You see, the truth is that God's kingdom has come, but also it is still to come. And so we live now in that overlap of the periods of history. And that means that, yes, we see God at work. There are great encouragements. People become believers in Jesus. Prayers are answered. But at the same time, there's still a struggle very often, because the fullness of the kingdom of Jesus is still to come. And so we face difficulties, illnesses. There are times of discouragement. There are times when people are not open, seemingly at all, to the good news of Jesus. During this waiting period, there will be times when things are very hard. Like those citizens in the story, there are people who are against Jesus and against Jesus' people. And we learn at the end of the story that when the nobleman returned, you remember the people that were against him were punished? Well, that Jesus is implying that, as he teaches elsewhere in the rest of the Bible, that for those who want nothing to do with Jesus in this life, well, then the day that Jesus returns will be a very sad day for such people. But in the waiting period, everything is not dark. At the same time as enemies are at work, Jesus' friends will be serving him and making him known, using the gifts that they've been given, and eventually they will be rewarded. One day, the waiting will be over. Jesus will return, and the victory will be known fully by everyone. God's victory through Jesus will be fully worked out. So Jesus' parable reminds us that we live in the now and the not yet of God's loving kingdom. And so this continues to be a broken world. We're not in heaven yet, but Jesus' promise is that the day is coming when we will be. So what are we to do whilst we wait? Well, given that there is this seeming delay, a waiting time, do we just keep our heads down and not get involved much in life, waiting for Jesus to come back and sort everything out? Well, no. The nobleman was clearly not pleased, you remember, when his worker did nothing with his £5,000. And Jesus doesn't expect us to behave like that either. Jesus' story reminds us that we are all given gifts and opportunities in life. We all have our mina, our £5,000. We all have abilities and privileges. And so we are to get on with life, with work, our lives at school, at home, in the community. If we belong to Jesus in the waiting time, we are to do business with our gifts and put them to use, to take the opportunities to serve Jesus and help others. And as a church family, a church community, we need to use the resources that we have to help people see just how important Jesus is and what he offers in seeking and saving the lost. So we've been reminded this morning from Jesus' story about waiting. Waiting is not easy, but in this time of Advent, we're reminded that being a Christian involves waiting. Waiting for Jesus to be made fully known as King when he comes back. And as we wait, we should put to use the gifts and the resources that we have. Use the opportunities that we're given to serve Jesus and other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder that we are in the now and the not yet of your kingdom rule. And we pray that you would give us patience as we wait. Patience in our individual lives, in our families, and patience as a church family. We thank you that though it seems a long time to us, it isn't to you, that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day to you. Help us to wait patiently and help us to use the opportunities we have to serve. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, our final song, we're reminded that Jesus came into the world to serve.